A salary is the drug they give you when they want you to forget about your dreams.
Welcome to the Corporate Dropout Podcast. I'm your host, Alessia Citro. After a successful career in tech, suffering from burnout, stress, and anxiety, I walked away from a multiple six-figure career to chase my passions and purpose as a coach and entrepreneur. This show is going to inspire, equip, and empower you to do the same. Let's get it. As a former Salesforce employee, I can tell you with confidence that every successful business uses a CRM tool. Why should yours be any different? Whether you're an entrepreneur, network marketer, or realtor, you need a way to keep track of your outreach to team members, prospects, and customers. Enter the 90-Day Habits Journal. Created by top network marketing leaders, the 90-Day Cycle to New Habits Journal is a great way to cultivate a winning mindset each day and track your activity. What you track grows, so start tracking what matters in your life and business. Get your copy at 90dayhabits.co and use code CITRO, that's C-I-T-R-O, for 10% off. Hello, friends. Before we get started on today's episode, I need to acknowledge the fact that I sound as though I might have a snorkel on. I am very congested with a head cold. So if this is your first time listening, my apologies. Now that I've shared that, let's jump in. So today I have the pleasure of interviewing Dr. Betty Hernandez-Tupta. Dr. Betty is a chiropractor, certified crystal practitioner, and biofield tuner. She also happens to be my energy crystals dealer, and her unique approach to wellness integrates crystals, sound healing, and chiropractic to address pain's physical, spiritual, and emotional origin. When she started incorporating crystals and biofield tuning in her chiropractic treatments, she noticed amplified treatment outcomes, and now her mission is to empower women to take care of their bodies, minds, and spirits through seeking holistic support. She owns Backbenders, the Auric Fields, and the BB Wellness Collective. Dr. Betty, thanks so much for coming back on the show.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
Ever since we met, I think it was a couple years ago that my friend Jackie introduced me to you. I have just loved your vibe. I have loved buying boxes and boxes of crystals from you. And it's so exciting to finally be interviewing you on the show after we met in person just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, that was so interesting. I think I asked you, I was like, how did we even meet? Like, I completely blocked out how we met. I just was like, I know this person. She's really awesome. And I really appreciate your support with the Auric Fields 100%.
Well, I'm happy to. And you've added a lot of value to my life. And, you know, it's great to turn an internet friend into a real friend. So
100%.
All right. Absolutely. So, I love the internet friends. They're the best. So you're not a corporate dropout per se, but you are a perfect guest for this show because in your field, you've gone outside of what is conventional, quote unquote, right? So we're going to dive into all of that. But to start off, tell us more about who Dr. Betty is.
So I will tell you that I am the only girl in a family of four brothers in raised in a Catholic, very humbled beginnings family, Mexican family. So I had a lot of fun actually with my brothers. So I am very much a tomboy, and I do have two sons, and I love boys. I get along with them. I feel like I understand them. And I'm just happy to be in this place in my life. I never thought I would be here. And this has really exceeded my expectations.
So I'm curious, did you always know that you wanted to be a healer or go into chiropractic, or how did you find that line of work?
I think it's twofold. It's being raised in the culture I was raised in. We really sought out like herbs and salves. And so I knew, I sort of knew that I wanted to be a doctor, but I knew I didn't want to be like a formal doctor. And it wasn't until I was in high school and we had a career day. And side note, I played a lot of sports. So I also wanted to incorporate some sort of sports with it. And we did have a chiropractor that did sports medicine come and talk to us. And I was like, voila, that's it. That's what I want to do. And so I pursued that. And of course, life has different ways of interrupting your plans. And I was just thinking about this the other day, how the birth of my son really changed the directory of, or the trajectory of my life. I was always planning on doing sports medicine as a chiropractor, and I got pregnant in the middle of chiropractic college. So that was not, that wasn't going to line up with that. So I just became, you know, had a private practice, became a chiropractor, and wanted to get back to the sports medicine aspect. But I also had gotten interested in energy healing at the time as well. And I had the opportunity in practice where I was comfortable enough. And I said, you know, I can either go this way or I can go that way. And it was literally a decision of, should I pursue the sports medicine degree or should I go this other way of crystal healing? Because I had become also interested in crystals. And I really thought about it and I went for the crystals. And I've been so, so happy I have, because it's fulfilled me in so many other ways and also opened different opportunities of businesses that I don't think I ever thought I would own three businesses at this time in my life. So just follow the path, I would say. And sometimes the path can seem unclear, right? But I had faith that I was making the right decision.
So follow up to that. There are so many people that listen to this show that want to take the leap to jump from their corporate job, but it's safe and it's stable and it's pragmatic. So I'm assuming, and again, definitely assuming here, that sports medicine chiropractic would have been a safer bet and more pragmatic, but you went a route that was a bit different and unconventional. What led you to do that? Was it just trusting your intuition and an inner knowing, or what made you bet on yourself and that decision?
I definitely had to really look within myself and think about the two different possibilities and what I felt more in tune with, how I felt my practice was evolving as well. So I had to also think of that. And yes, I would say that the sports medicine would have been, you know, it's more accepted. Everybody knows sports medicine, right? Who knows about crystal healing? Not a lot of people, unless you're in that world. And so, and there's an element, right, of science base that I prescribe to in my chiropractic practice. But, you know, science has its place as well. And who's to say energy healing isn't, you know, I know a lot of people think of it as like magic or woo-woo, but there is, you know, quantum physics and other things that are support that. So if you really just take the time to look at it, you will see the value in it. And basically that's what it came down to, just me thinking about, where do I really want to be, right? Do I want to be in a stinking locker room? Maybe not.
Well, and your office is beautiful. You have the most gorgeous setup, and I imagine it would look a little different if it was the sports medicine vibe. So I never give questions to guests beforehand unless they ask, which is rare. And so you did not receive these before, but you teed me up perfectly for the next thing I wanted to ask you. A lot of people, maybe some listening today, think energy healing and crystals and all that is a bunch of bullshit. Until perhaps they've experienced it or it finds them. So I'm curious, how did you discover this realm of energy healing? Did it find you? What was that whole process like, and what made you a believer, so to speak?
So one of my massage therapists that worked at my office came up to me one day and said, hey, you know, I do something called Reiki, and would you mind if maybe we made a session that includes massage and Reiki? And I was like, well, what's Reiki? And so she talked to me about it, and I was like, okay, well, why don't you try it on me and we'll see how that works. And I had already been, you know, interested in crystals and dipping my toes a little bit in there. And so when she did, I was like, wow, this is amazing. I felt a connection. And that's really what started really the fire in me to pursue this energy healing, because I felt the effects myself firsthand. Yeah, that was basically it. It did find me. And funny enough, this person became a Reiki master. So if you do the different certifications, you can become that level. And she also certified me under Reiki. And I use Reiki in a different way, I think, than most. Sometimes I'm not even sure like what's happening when I do energy work, but incorporating the crystals. And that's the thing too. I love to really just incorporate the different things that I find helpful. And I work with my patients, and I have standalone sessions as well where people like you come in and done a biofield tuning, which is an amazing sound healing modality. I personally resonate really, really highly with sound healing. So if anybody's ever done like sound baths, that's one way of doing sound healing. Like my body does like ridiculous things during the sound healing. And so I really resonate with that. And that makes a lot of sense to me scientifically, because we are made mostly of water. So what is that? You know, you resonate, you vibrate. It's really interesting.
Yeah, we're what, 70% water or something like that?
A pretty high percentage. Yeah, correct.
I recently got a Tibetan singing bowl, and I've been doing that in conjunction with meditating, sitting at my altar. And it's amazing when you feel that vibration in your hand. Like,
yes,
I don't know how to explain it. If you know, you know, and if you don't, exactly, go get a singing bowl, but it's pretty cool. So I wanted to ask you too, most people have never heard of biofield tuning, even my friends that are into Reiki and crystals and all the things. Give us the scoop and like the explanation of it. I experienced this firsthand with you and it was amazing. But for those of us who don't know, can you share more?
Yes. So biofield tuning is a modality that uses tuning forks. We use weighted forks that don't normally have an audible sound, and unweighted forks that have the audible sound. And we use those to remove the congestion that's in your energy field. So when somebody has unprocessed emotions or traumas, their energy spreads. And instead of it being in the center where all your energy centers are, right, your chakras, it's disruptive in the outside. So it's not in the center where it's supposed to be. And that's the best, that's where you'll be able to use it more efficiently. And so biofield tuning, what it does is uses the sound and vibration to remove the congestion in your field. And it almost uses a sound like a needle on a record, and it reads your field, your energy field, and finds those pockets of congestion and uses the sound of the fork. It hears the dissonance. Your body will hear the dissonance, and then it auto-tunes itself. And we use that sound to really almost like sweep the congested energy into the center of your body, bringing it back into the center of your body where it's most useful to you.
It was kind of crazy too, because it's not like you can see anything, right? It's just the sound, and you can sense like where the fields begin and end. And the things that you picked up on, it was crazy. It was like, I don't know, you were a psychic or something, of like, oh, I'm, you know, picking up at this age, there was something that went on like this. And anyway, very, very cool. But I feel like there aren't a lot of people that are practicing that. Are you sort of a pioneer in this? Or like, do you have any ideas where people can find a practitioner if they're not local to Southern California?
So I'm not sure exactly how old the biofield tuning is. I will say that it is fairly new. It is actually quite international. We have a lot of practitioners all over the world. It was invented by Eileen McCusick, and she also has a really two interesting books. But the one that really got me into biofield tuning is called Tuning the Human Biofield. And you can get more information on that. It is a little science heavy. So, but that's great for me because I love to know the science behind all this energetic modalities. But if you are interested in getting a biofield tuning, you can go to the biofield tuning website, and they will have a registry of the different practitioners in your area.
Okay, perfect. I'll add that to the show notes then too. And I wanted to ask you, you had shared with me when we met in person that you had begun to incorporate, you know, the crystals and all of this because you were seeing enhanced outcomes. Tell us a little bit about that. What are some of the differences that you see when you're treating patients with, you know, the sound healing, with the crystals healing versus just standard chiropractic?
So when I started my practice, obviously it was just the chiropractic. And over several years, I began to notice that, you know, after touching so many bodies after several years, that some of their pain wasn't coming from their back or their knee or wherever they were, you know, expressing it. And that's also another reason, another thing that got me interested in energy healing, because I started to notice these different patterns. And so I wanted to find different modalities that would complement chiropractic in being able to address, right, the emotional pain points. And why I got into crystal healing and into energy healing with the tuning forks. And since I've been incorporating, it's been, I want to say at least 5 years, I've been incorporating crystals and sound healing. And I just feel like it gives a more complete adjustment, because you get a little bit more of like an emotional adjustment, I feel, as well. Also, using the tuning forks on the body is extremely relaxing. There's a couple of forks that I use in particular that actually bring your nervous system into a parasympathetic state. So that would be the relaxation state. And that's extremely helpful, because at the end of your session, that's when I adjust you. So you're already in a really relaxed state. So your adjustment is going to be that much more easeful, right? You're going to be so much more relaxed. And it just makes for like a really, really amazing session.
It was honestly one of the most relaxing feelings I think I've ever experienced, particularly when you put the tuning fork like on the top of my head. I wanted to be like, can you just do that the whole time?
And that was just like the basic biofield tuning session that we did. There's more things that we can do with biofield tuning. We can have an advanced session, which is where we go in between the chakras, right? Because I mean, you are basically energy and light. And so we can go in the different aspects of each chakra. There's also a session that uses mostly the weighted forks, which I think you would love since you love having that on your head. And there's also ways where we can tune a business. We can tune, like I've tuned somebody's surgery, right? You can tune a relationship, and it doesn't have to be with an actual physical person. It could be your relationship with love or money, you know? So there's so much more to biofield tuning than just the first out. Just, you know, I have everybody start off with just that first session because it's where we start. But there's so much more that we can do. So you'll have to take another drive down.
I know. I definitely need to. Well, and you know, it's interesting too. You had shared that you can do these from a distance. Like you were telling me about your friend in Chicago that you'll do it while she's walking her dog. So you're not anywhere near each other. You're like, what, 2,500 miles apart, and it still works because, I mean, really space and time are somewhat of illusions, right? Like energy is all connected. So that, I think that's pretty interesting too.
Yeah, exactly. As a matter of fact, I just did a tuning, and this person wanted me to release it at like a time when she was asleep. And so I did the session during the day, right? And then I just intend for it to be released at the time that she requested. And her feedback was just like, that's amazing. I actually woke up after a certain amount of time and I told her, well, yeah, your session went a little bit longer and it finished at this time. And so it really resonated with the time that she like woke up. So it's very amazing. I mean, this is the way I get my tunings, to be honest, because I am kind of busy. So I always have them done remotely. And they're, it's amazing.
It's just so interesting because I feel like we've all been domesticated and programmed to only believe what we can see. I mean, you know, people have religious beliefs, some of them, although those are really fading too, in large part compared to a generation or two ago. So something like this, I feel like it's just so hard for most folks to wrap their head around it if you haven't started to do that work of, you know, going down the spiritual path of that, the fact that we're all energetic spiritual beings that decided to have this physical experience. So I'm sure some people listening to this are like, what the heck? But I just invite you to dive in. There's so much to this and it can really, I think it can really improve your life. It's definitely improved mine.
I agree.
So I was going to ask you, like, real talk, Dr. Betty.
Yes.
Did you get pushback or criticism from chiropractic colleagues when you began incorporating some of this? Because I've been to a few chiropractors in my day, and I have to say none have had crystals or tuning forks, and that's a shame because I definitely enjoy them. What's that been like?
You know what? It's interesting because I think, by and large, chiropractic is one of those professions where we do sort of think outside of the box, right? Just the history of chiropractic is really interesting as well. How, you know, they were persecuted back in the day. The AMA persecuted them, put them in, you know, arrested them and put them in jail. So for the most part, they've been, my colleagues have been pretty receptive. I think they always kind of knew I was a little bit of a brujita, so a little bit of a witch. And that just really goes back to my culture where we believe in, you know, herbs and energies. And, so I think that's part of it as well. And that you are going to, you know, have some backlash. And I have to say, I think I do a pretty good job of showing people either on my website or, you know, on social media, like who I am. So when you come to Backbenders or you come, you know, to see me, this stuff is going to be part of your session. Now I do always ask patients, like, are you okay with this? And if they say no, then I respect their wishes, obviously. But I don't really get people that say no. So I think it's, they kind of know what they're coming into. I mean, when you, like you said, when you walk in, you're just hit with a wall of crystals. So something's a little different in here.
The energy is so good. It's undeniable. And also, you know, I'm sure that the patients that are seeking you, like, the universe has brought them to you because you're the right match for them, and vice versa.
Yes. And I've done the work for that. You know,
yeah,
when something happens, or if for whatever reason we lose a patient, you know, and I have to just say, well, you know what? I asked for that. I asked for, bring me the people that resonate, bring me the people that will value my work. And that's one way I sort of look at those things. Even when I have practitioners that leave, I always, that's really hard for me because they're part of my family. So I always kind of, I take it a little personal, although I try not to, but then I have to always fall back on that. You know what? I asked for this. I asked for these people that resonate, or they're going to, you know, they're going to resonate with Backbenders. And when it's time for them to leave, then I have to respect that and accept it.
Yeah. I know that it's happening for you, or it's part of a larger plan that's serving you. I think once people can come to that realization about everything in life, even the really shitty stuff, things get a lot better. So you brought up being a witch, and I have to acknowledge some of the stuff you post. I can't remember the name of it, but like that term gets used a lot. It's like a collective or something like that. And I just saw this reel on Instagram, and it was like 8 signs that you have a witch wound that needs to be healed. And I'm like, oh, like what's going on here? Like all 8 resonated with me. I had never heard of this before. Do you? So, A, have you heard this term of like the witch wound, and like what are your thoughts on that and us women needing to heal it?
I have heard of that term, witch wound. And I mean, I always want to, not that everything goes back to capitalism, but it's sort of like the patriarchy and the collective as us females, right? Known as, even as a derogative, oh, you're a witch, right? And it's always been seen as a derogative term. And I am really loving how even millennials and, you know, we're seeing this more and more, like it's not a derogative. It's just, you know, somebody who's spiritual. And yes, some people just use it as a, you know, fun term or whatever. But if you're serious about, you know, changing your life and manifesting, and that's something that, you know, you have to do the work. And I feel like being a witch is just basically someone who's sensitive to the energies.
And in their feminine energy too, it sounds like, versus in the masculine, like most everyone is.
Right, right. And there are some male witches too, as well. So, I mean, it's not just exclusive to females. But I'm actually really happy to see that coming forth and more people acknowledging, like, yeah, you know what? I think I am. I think I am sensitive. Or even some people like, oh, you know, I think I'm sort of ADHD. And that's actually part of being in the spectrum, is actually somebody who's very empathic and very sensitive. And I have two children, both of my sons are ADHD, and they are very sensitive. And it's hard for parents sometimes to not recognize that. And I think nowadays it's more accepted and there's more education around that. But I think that also goes in tune with, you know, being a sensitive, mm-hmm. right? Or being empathic. And I'm happy to see more of this coming to the light, and more education and just acceptance around it.
Yeah, I agree. I think accepting everyone for what they are, even if you don't like it or agree with it, you know, you don't have to have dinner with them. You don't have to marry them. Let people be, as long as they're not hurting you. Exactly. Also, too, if people are enjoying this portion of the conversation, I invite you to go back and listen to episodes 17 and 18 with Dr. Valerie Rain, who discovered patriarchy stress disorder. Dr. Betty, I gotta send you a copy of that book. You'll be all about it. Anyway, all right. So part of why I wanted to have you on, like, you're just this vibrant, colorful soul. And I'm really curious, like, what advice would you give to the listener that is, you know, maybe afraid to go against the grain a little bit or color outside the lines, and they're fearing what others will think? Like, what would you tell that person listening?
I would say, you know what, if you want to be a undercover witch for a little bit, that's okay.
You know, undercover, stuff, I love it.
Stuff the crystals in the bra. Put them in the pockets, see how they feel. A lot of times it has to be that way, right? It has to, you know, be that way. You may not be ready to come out fully in your witch ways, but honor every step of your journey is what I would say. I definitely, my mom is extremely religious, and she doesn't know half of the shit I do. And I don't want to tell her. my family knows mostly. My dad's like fine with it. My husband, oh Lord, bless him. He's been with me the whole time. And he's pivoted every time. So kudos to him. And my kids, of course, they know. They know. But I would say, you know, start somewhere. And if that means that you're just stuffing a crystal in your bra, then that's where you're starting. If that's learning, you know, reading a book, going to class. I mean, everything is so accessible now because of the Panini, you know, having online classes. So no one has to know. You do you, boo, you learn.
It's too funny. Well, and one thing I just wanted to touch on, I feel like a lot of the time when religious people aren't vibing with this energy stuff, it's just coming from a place of dogma, when in reality, like, there's a lot of common roots. I picked up this book. It's Reiki Healing for Beginners or something like that. The first chapter is about Reiki and Christianity. And I think it was episode 13. I had Kelsey Padigos on, who's a hypnotherapist, and she met Jesus in one of her hypnotherapy sessions and, like, wasn't religious at all. And she went on to say that Jesus was like one of the original, or maybe the original, Reiki healer. And I open up this book, and sure enough, that's what it's talking about. Like, he would put his hands on people and, you know, people who are blind could see, right? And that's basically what Reiki is, right? It's healing through energy. So yeah, I feel like we all have a lot more in common than we think. And it's just this dogma and conditioning and programming that gets in the way. And like, it's 2022 almost, y'all. Like, let's just love each other and accept, right? Like, that's what right. I'm here for.
Me too. Absolutely. And when let's think of JC as the OG, which I mean, that's awesome. But yeah, I agree with you. A lot of that is just closed-mindedness. And honestly, we just have to open our mind.
Totally. I mean, especially too, like not to go on a religious tangent here, but you know, he was hanging around with prostitutes and lepers and, you know, so why? Yeah.
Anyway. Turning water into wine. I mean, I want to be at that party.
Hell yeah. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. all right. So the next question I had for you, you had shared with me after my treatment, we got lunch and you were sharing with me that the auric field is your second act and that this is going to be really the focus when you cease providing chiropractic care one day. So tell us, what was it like starting up this second income stream well before you needed it and just anything that you've learned along the way?
Well, something y'all should know about me is my rising is a Sagittarius. And so my chart ruler is Jupiter. That is the planet of expansion. So I am a very extra person. And this is very typical of me to start a second business. I did start it with a business partner who's no longer with me, sadly. But we're still good. We're still friends. And so I definitely see this as my second act, as we discussed at the lunch. And just because I know that the type of chiropractic I do is also a little bit physical. So I know there's going to come a time where I'm like, okay, I'm going to hang up the chiropractic hands and really do the crystals full time. And who knows, it might even become sooner than later. I just love it. I love hanging out with the crystals. I love talking to them. I like finding the rainbows. And it also makes me feel good to like really support the local vendors I've made really great connections with. And it's also really important for me to know that they are being good to the earth, right? And that they're good stewards of the earth. And that's also a big criteria for, you know, the vendors that I use. But starting the auric feels, and I think also, let me go back to the pandemic, that really actually accelerated things because now I had a little bit more time in my hands, like everybody else, right? And who started up their second business. Although the auric fields had been in existence for about a year, almost 2 years, but you know, we were both working at our other jobs. And so it was more like a side hustle, not even a side hustle. So now it became, now it's become a lot more for me to the point where I scaled back some of my chiropractic. And so I'm really looking forward to growing it more and hopefully finding a warehouse.
Ooh, so things are going really well then if you're looking for a warehouse. I love that. That's awesome. So were there any challenges too as you're starting to stand this business up while you have another one going? I mean, I'm extra too, and I'm like a Sagittarius on steroids, so I resonate with everything that you're saying. But you know, how was it getting that going when you have this other practice that you're running? Was that challenging at all?
Yes, it's always challenging because I really like to give 100% of myself into every project that I do, whether it was staying at home with my kids, I had to be the best mom, you know, it's a perfectionist. We are very in common with that. And it always felt like, oh, I'm, you know, taking so much time away from Backbenders, who was like my OG, like that's the one that really put everything together, right? If it wasn't for Backbenders, I don't, you know, I wouldn't be here. So it made me really appreciate what I actually built with Backbenders. And I do have, you know, like certain rituals that I do for Backbenders just to show my appreciation for it. And I know auric fields is just a little baby right now. And it's important for me to make sure that I do that, that I honor backbenders and also, you know, make time for the auric feels. And of course, then you throw in family and, you know, it's always difficult, right? We're always juggling, but I really do try to compartmentalize in that way. And also, first and foremost, I need to honor myself and rest. So there'll be times like that I'm just not posting, you know, I just have to take, you know, I have to do that for myself because I know I am a workaholic and I will do that. And then what happens is you burn out, right? And that's not fun. So it's important for me to really be present with my patients. And I'm actually very fortunate that my family does understand that, like, when I'm at work, you know, unless it's an emergency, they don't really call me because I have to be present. And especially energy work too, it takes, you know, you have to be in a good place to be able to hold space for this person. And even with chiropractic, because I mean, I have the adjustment itself. Some people have emotional releases because they've been storing all of this in their body. So, you know, I don't know. Do you know Human Design?
That's really funny you bring that up. I just ordered a blueprint from this woman, Erin Claire Jones is her name. I just ordered one for me and Mila, but I'm a generator and I'm just diving into this. It's pretty interesting.
It's extremely interesting. I'm totally new at it too, but I do know that I am a manifester. And what I know about manifestors is they have closed auras. So I think that's might be one of the reasons why I'm able to do that, because there are a lot of practitioners that just get drained and cannot like do more than like two sessions or whatever. I'm pretty good. You know, I mean, I have to make sure that I'm paying attention to myself as well and taking some rest. I mean, as we're speaking today is a new moon and this one really kind of kicked my butt a little bit. So I'm relaxing a little bit.
Honoring what you need and having the boundaries, both in terms of, you know, just work, energy, all of it's so important, especially when you're juggling, because you have the third business too. So I hope, I mean, that's a big takeaway for anyone listening that's multi-passionate like we are, or extra like we are. Like, you have to have the boundaries in place. So you are the last guest of 2021. What advice? Ooh. I know, isn't that cool? That was not coincidental timing. There's no such thing, right? That was divine timing. What advice would you give to the listener that feels stagnant or stuck and wants 2022 to be their year? What can they do to get energetically right?
Well, first of all, I want them to acknowledge where they are, right? And if that's how you feel, that's how you feel. You have to honor those feelings and feel those feelings, you know, for a little bit, but then you have to snap out of it. And I would say really take the time to think about what they would like to bring in for the new year, right? Or even into their life, what they would like to bring in. And all these things that, you know, we talked about, Reiki, crystals, energy healing, those are all tools that you can use, right? But everything really is within yourself to try to use. And it's how you can get in, how well you can get in touch with that part of yourself. And it's not easy for some people. I understand that. And there's, you know, other socioeconomical things that could be into play, but it doesn't cost you anything to really listen to yourself. And if journaling is a great way of doing that as well. Sometimes you just need to write things down. And, you know, that's one way of getting off your chest. So even if you start to the week before, you know, the last week of the year, start journaling some things, see what comes up. One thing that I love to do towards the end of the year is write down some of the things that are no longer serving me or that I don't want to be attached to anymore. And then I burn them. And then I write down some of the things that I want to bring in, right? My intentions. You don't necessarily have to have like New Year's resolutions. I would just think of them as more as intentions that you want to, you know, things that you want to bring into your life, and focus on that and see how you can bring that into fruition.
The intentionality is so huge. And in fact, at the time of recording, it's a new moon tonight. About a month ago, I was asking you, how do I set up an altar, all this stuff, right? And you said, you know, maybe start like with moon cycles. And so one of the things I did was write, I think it was 10 intentions for this lunar cycle. Is that something too that you would suggest? Like, is there a set number? I know we talked, I won't go down this tangent, but you talked a little bit about these power periods that everyone has once a year, and you can make like 40 wishes instead of 10. Is there a magic number for a new year, or what are your thoughts around that?
So this is from the teachings of Jan Spiller, and she has quite a few books out. So if you want to look out for her, she's no longer with us, or else I would have booked a reading with her. But she's lives through her books, and she does have this information in one of her books where you do have this power period, and you can make up to 40 wishes, which I did because my power period just passed. And but her suggestion is always to do 10 wishes for the new moon cycle. And the reasoning behind that is that you want to give the energy something to work off of, right? So you want to build that momentum for the intentions. But that is a great way to start, because we always have new moons and we always have full moons, so that's also guaranteed. New moons are normally good for intention setting and goal setting, and full moons are times where you want to release the old in preparation for the new. Now, with that being said, not all new moons are good for like trying to manifest, you know, abundance and wealth. But if you're going to start somewhere, start there. Start with the new moon as intention setting. Full moon, you could do a forgiveness ritual. And once you become more experienced with the lunar cycles and also, you know, astrology and the planets, then you can, you know, get a little bit more detailed in which moon is good for what. And there's tons of books out there for that as well.
So much to learn. One thing I just have to share real quick about the power period, I'll link this in the show notes. I went online after you told me about this a month or so ago, looked up when my power period is. Funny enough, it was, don't quote me on the exact dates, but like June 4th to July 5th. I went to Maui on June 4th, and it was the flight home where my life changed. So if you all haven't listened to the plane story, go back and do that. I think it was episode 7. And then my power period ended my last day at Google. Isn't that crazy?
I
don't think it was coincidence that all of that overlapped.
Not at all.
Yeah. Pretty cool. So final question then. I appreciate you so much for coming on. Tell people, where can they connect with you? How can they work with you? What are some of the services you offer? And I will link everything in the show notes as well.
So if you want to come and see me for chiropractic and in-person biofield tunings, you can do that at backbenders.com. I'm also on IG, back.benders. If you want to learn more about crystals and maybe book a remote biofield tuning session, you can go to theauricfields.com. And I'm also on IG at theauricfields. And if you are a practitioner in Los Angeles and you want to be part of the collective, you can check us out at the BB Wellness Collective.
And the final thing we have to plug, I said this on the last episode that we recorded that dropped Monday. So if you didn't listen to it, go back and do that. But I was like, Dr. Betty, are you going to do an affiliate program? I'll be your top affiliate because I love these crystals. I love telling everyone about them. And you did. So if anyone is interested in buying crystals, you can go to theauricfields.com and then you can use my code. It's Citro5 for 5% off. And I'll include that too. So thank you again for doing that and extending that. I really appreciate it.
My absolute pleasure.
Well, it's been wonderful. I can't wait to come in again soon for another biofield tuning session, and just appreciate you closing out the year with us with all this great energetic knowledge. And appreciate you so much.
Thank you.
Did you know we are in the midst of the Great Resignation?
4.3 million Americans left their jobs in August without seeking a new one. If you want to become a corporate dropout like me, but you need help creating an exit plan, I can help. Whether you need corporate exit coaching, business coaching, or you're seeking help to step into the best version of yourself, I'd love to connect with you. Listeners of the Corporate Dropout Podcast can book a complimentary discovery call with me. Visit alessiacitro.com/dropout. That's alessiacitro.com/dropout to book your free coaching call today. Thank you so much for listening to the show. If today's episode added value to your life in some way, please subscribe, leave a 5-star review, and share it with someone who needs this. I'd love to connect with you on Instagram and hear how the show has inspired you. So tag me or slide into the DMs. Find me at Corporate Dropout Official or Alessia Citro. That's A-L-E-S-S-I-A-C-I-T-R-O and 2 underscores. Until next time, remember that you're a badass. Stay focused, stay hungry, and dare to drop out.